Son. And in that light of life I'll walk, the traveling days are done.
Let us pray to the Lord. May the words of my mouth and the meditation in our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus, it's hard to find a more comforting passage than what we have in today's scripture, Gospel, from Matthew chapter 11, verses 25 through 30. Remarkable words, words that draw people to know the comfort and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding through Jesus' gracious invitation as he calls poor sinners unto himself. Verses 25 through 27 demonstrate God's work, God's grace to us, and it is extremely comforting. But first, in these words, we need to realize that there is an inherent warning. We don't want to be among those that Jesus refers to as the wise and understanding. Now, it's not referring to those who are educated necessarily. That's a big relief for people, a lot of people in this congregation. But to those who are self-sufficient, regardless of education level. Basically, those who are self-sufficient believe in themselves that they really don't need any help. They have it all figured out. They basically know it all. And as a result, God is put into a box. Got God all figured out. As a result, the Word of God is put into a box. They got the Word all figured out. But consider Psalm 14:1. In that psalm, the Word of God says, the fool says to himself in his heart, what? There is no God. This should be convicting to us as well. You see, we have this fool that is inside of us. Now, you might object, Pastor, that's not my confession. I confess that God is real. I believe in the Lord. But in spite of what we say, consider how we live. Now, the fool inside of you and inside of me is convinced that we got it all figured out. And we often live that way, as if we have it all figured out. As a young teenager, I remember being excited for any kind of physical work where I could flex my muscles and be that tough guy. But one day, my dad assigned me to work on getting a big tree out of the front yard, put an axe in my hand and said, go at it. But he's kind of standing back, shaking his head and laughing at me because I didn't know how to use an axe. I was expending and wasting a lot of energy, even though I thought I had it all figured out to use that axe. It just wasn't as a teenager, though, that I was a fool who thought he had it all figured out. Many of you know that my wife Tracy and I have the wonderful blessing of being parents for almost what might be considered as two generations of children. We have three older children who have graduated and have married. We have five younger children still with us in the house. Well, after having raised my three older kids, I kind of thought that I had parenting all figured out. Not the case. Not even close. Just ask my five kids who are with me now. And way too often, I try way too hard, I worry way too much, and I exert myself in terribly inefficient ways in trying to be a good dad. It's a mistake to think that we have it all figured out. This illustrates what foolish sinners do in respect to life in general. Seeking peace and contentment, joy and happiness, not listening to our Heavenly Father, but trying to do the job on our own, based on our flexing our spiritual muscles to try to be that good Christian, keeping all the commands and laws. Most recently, I was convicted about my neglect of the gift of prayer as described in Matthew chapter 6. Now understand that if you study the scriptures, there's a fairly broad definition of prayer. Prayer is certainly also a constant yearning for our Heavenly Father. It's a constant conversation, and I know that all of you know what I'm talking about. You pray in your car, you pray when you're taking a shower, you're praying all the time when you go to bed and when you get up in the morning. That's fantastic. The scriptures also, at the same time, talk about a special time in Matthew 6. When we go into our room and we close our door and we pray to our Father who sees us in secret, right? Well, I've neglected that. How important it is for Christians to live in this gift. And because I've chosen too often to neglect this gift, I've missed out on an invaluable resource way too often in my life. To do so is to experience unnecessary labor and unnecessary weariness. If we're honest, the result of trying to be so self-sufficient is absolutely exhausting. Jesus here in Matthew chapter 11 refers to this as labor and being heavy laden. I saw these qualities in a man that I once served. He had been seeking faith in God for a long time, and boy, was he frustrated and was he bitter. Everything changed for that man, though, with one basic insight that the Holy Spirit provided. We don't form our faith. And all this time, he had thought that he had to do something to form his faith and make it come alive and make it real. But then he realized through God's Word and the Holy Spirit, we don't give faith to ourselves. Faith can only come from God. It's a gift, according to Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. God must form our faith. He must create our faith. This man was very intelligent. He loved philosophy, but he had been spinning his wheels, so to speak, for a very long time. And as a result, he was feeling fed up with the whole question of faith. He was weary. He was heavy laden. And then through Jesus Christ and the forgiveness of sins and the gift of faith from Word and sacrament, he was relieved and he was given rest. But Jesus is clear in the gospel. No one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. We can ask the next question. Well, who does Jesus want to reveal the Father to so that people can know the saving gospel? Brothers and sisters in Christ, you know the answer. Those that he wants to reveal the Father to includes everyone, because Jesus died for the sins of everyone. Still, coming to Christ is the work of God. It's a work of grace. Here's a quote from our Lutheran Confessions and our Solid Declaration, Article 2. Holy Scriptures ascribe conversion, faith in Christ, regeneration, renewal, and everything that belongs to its real beginning and completion in no way to human powers of the will, of the natural free will, be it entirely or one half or the least or tiniest part, but all together and alone to the divine operation of the Holy Spirit. So who is blessed this way? To have Jesus reveal the Father to him. Jesus gives the answer in our gospel. God reveals these saving things to the one who is a little child. A little child. There's only one basic thing to get out of this description from Jesus. The word used here for little children means a child that is so little they can't even speak yet. These children have nothing to bring. They can't even try to be self-sufficient because they're helpless. What is really significant, though, going back, is this basic definition of one who can't speak. God accuses us sinners. You have sinned. You are a sinner. And the little child doesn't talk back. It's true. No argument here. We're sinners. We need God. We're overwhelmed by our inability. We're overwhelmed by our flood of sin. When Nathan came to show David, King David, his sin, and David expressed his great confession in Psalm 51, he told it like it is. My sin is always before me. Little children are like that. They realize their insufficiency. They realize that their sins are always before them. Our sin, we don't deny it. We're helpless little children, and we are weary, and we are heavy laden because we cannot save ourselves. So, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, here comes the very great, great news from Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 to 30. Jesus sees your condition and mine. He saw it back then for the people who were put under Torah law, and he sees it today for us who struggle, like you and me, and he says still today for us these words. At the bottom of page 13, on top of page 14, let's read together these comforting words from our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, beginning at the bottom of page 13. Come to me, all who labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The word rest is a very simple word. It means that the labor and heavy laden condition stops. It literally means cessation or interruption. I was watching American Ninja on television. It's amazing what these athletes can do, especially in regard to their incredible grips and how they can carry their body weight all through this incredible course. One of the American athletes is so strong that evidently he can do 3 pinky push-ups. But even these athletes, as they transition from one obstacle to another, when they get to that in-between platform, you can see how much they need to rest their arms. They get to that platform and they just kind of relax and they have to shake out their arms and they rub their arms. And if they don't do that, if they don't get that rest in between the obstacles, game over. There's no way they're going to complete that course. We need rest, brothers and sisters, to finish this course of life in the right way. We have to have rest. But the rest that Jesus is talking about isn't taking a siesta. It isn't shaking out your arms after a hard workout. It is a much more needed rest than that. Our Savior is talking about a rest that we can't live without. We grossly underestimate the burden of our sin, the burden of the world, and the burden of the devil. We don't realize how much these things cause terrible unrest within our souls, never feeling that we're in a good place, always feeling that things aren't right, always having that suspicion that we aren't living the way we ought to be living. Something's wrong with life. But when Jesus, when he gives this rest with these powerful, drawing to himself words of invitation, he says, come to me. And when he says, come to me, you're raised up from the death of sin. With these words, you're pulled out of hopelessness in this world. With these words, you're taken out of the clutches of the devil himself, and you are no longer condemned. Jesus calls you through the word and the blessed sacrament of his body and his blood to give you forgiveness. And you are restored. You are restored through the forgiveness of sins, and this impacts everything else in your life. To the extent that the forgiveness of sins leads to the resurrection, when your physical body will know the effects of eternal rest, you'll be fully restored and radiant. That's how powerful this rest of the forgiveness of sins in Christ is. The rest of forgiveness ceases and interrupts the crushing burden of sin. And as far as the east is from the west, so far has God removed your transgressions from you. Still, some might be confused. Jesus takes my weariness and my being heavy laden, but then he says that when I come to him, he's going to give me his yoke. Isn't that just trading one burden for another burden? No, not really. It's important to note that the yoke Jesus puts on you that unites you to him, Jesus says of that yoke, he says it's my yoke. That is, he says it's his yoke. You get united to Christ. He carries that yoke. You are reminded of what he placed on himself for you. He bore all of your sins. He covered all of them with his precious blood. His yoke defeated death for you. His yoke was to beat the demons that pursue you. His yoke gives life. And the life is yours. And when you enter into that yoke, and you have when you were baptized as a Christian in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, you then learn who it is you're connected to. Jesus, the gentle one, the lowly in heart. Why does he say this to us? To remind us he will never condemn. He will continue to treat you as he always does, with compassion, with kindness, with mercy, with love, with forgiveness. That's the way he treats his little children. That's the way he treats you. And now, dear Christians, you have rest. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus until he comes again in glory. Amen. We stand as we continue with the prayer of the church.